Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to this week's edition of Kingdom Keys Weekly, a gospel broadcast designed to help believers grow in grace and in knowledge, where our message is the kingdom and our mission is to develop the kingdom mindset. We now join our broadcast already in progress, so join us as we receive our host, pastor, and teacher, Pastor Chris Taylor.
We want to say good morning to those of you who are joining us tonight. Those of you that are joining us all the way across our state, we're so grateful for all of you. We're so grateful to our host, Pastor continue our fellowship as we come together to lift up the name of Father and Holy Spirit as we Christ for us. Our purpose here is to develop the kingdom, our mindset. So you'll bow your heads with me as we hold the Holy Spirit. Again, God, we're grateful from this building that I'm grateful for the opportunity to come and to get give our will or learn how to submit our will to God. First of all, recognize the presence of your Holy Spirit to be with us and to teach us this day. God, we show you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. That's the name of Jesus the Christ. We all say yes. Amen. God bless you. Again, thank you guys so much for being your support of us and how we move forward. Guys, I want to, as we begin, let's go ahead and, if you would, I want to call your attention to, actually, we'll be studying again, as I told you on last week, the next two months, probably, we'll be dealing with verses or chapter 11 and chapter 12, but especially some aspects moving into the new year. Today is the first Sunday of the month of December. We're rapidly approaching the year 2022.
Right.
And so with that being said, God has an interesting concept that he's been dealing with me in my own study, and it's my prayer that as we all continue to move forward in the Word of God, that we will understand as we've been studying again the survey of the Old Testament. We want to understand these snapshots, these portraits that God has given us in the Old Testament that lay out or that display the plan of salvation in full. And so we talked about types, and we talked about our shadows and the anti-types. And we've also talked about how in our discussions, how we categorize the Old Testament and the New Testament. With that being said, number one, the Old Testament is the New Testament enfolded, and the New Testament is the Old Testament unfolded. And so here, God gives us, especially in these next two chapters and these next 2 months of study, gives us the great insight on how that plan of salvation was enfolded in the Old Testament, but unfolded in the New Testament through the life and the work of Jesus Christ. So go ahead, if you would, turn to Exodus chapter 11. We'll have this for our invocational study here just briefly. And then after we have the invocational study, right after that, what we'll do is we'll move into our message for the day. But we want to look at Exodus chapter 11. Now, I'm not going to recap everything that we've pretty much talked about in our previous chapters, but there are a few things I want us to look at, especially when we get to the concept of Pharaoh being beyond reason. Like, the fact that God gave him opportunity after opportunity, and how God gives us opportunity after opportunity. He gives us warning, and then gives us opportunity to get it right before the judgments that he passes come about. So God then sent the plagues to Pharaoh. Hold on, I could pause for a second, do this. Don't worry about it. Gives me experimenting with something new again, but we'll be all right. So so what happened is that God sends these plagues down on the Egyptians. And when he sends these plagues down on the Egyptians, a lot of the question is, well, why? Why would God do something like that? Why would he, you know, rain down these plagues? And what was the purpose? What is the reason behind the cruelty? If, you know, if you look, you know, from the perspective of that. But again, you have to keep in mind that we want, that God has consistently, again, given them warning before judgment, right? That's been his method of operation, warning before judgment. So he gives us warning, and then after he gives us warning, he passes judgment. The plagues, the purpose of the plague, and God said it a lot. He explained it a lot in his own commentary when he says that, I'm going to show the people who I am. That's the purpose of what we're doing right here. Is to show, I want to introduce myself to the people of Egypt. Remember, Pharaoh claims that he didn't know who the God of
Israel was, and so with that respect,
he didn't know. So he didn't know who the God of Egypt was. And so God goes on this campaign to introduce himself to the people of Egypt, but most importantly to Pharaoh. And so he sends the plagues. The plagues come down, and the Bible tells us that God gives reasons as to why he sent these plagues. Number one, we learn he sent the plague to answer Pharaoh's question as to who is God. Who is this God? Remember Exodus chapter 5. Secondly, we learned that this was a display of the power of God. To see things happen supernaturally in that respect was God showing his power, demonstrating his power. And the fact that the set of plagues that the Israelites could not duplicate was also equally as impressive within that respect, right? But he says in Exodus chapter 10, and I want us to look at that verse number 2, look what he says. He says, and that you may tell in the hearing of your sons and your sons' sons the mighty things I have done in Egypt and my signs which I have done among them, that you may know that I am the Lord God, thy God. So this was also to give a testimony to the people of God. So in essence, if I can help us with some of the things that we experience in life, God permits or allows certain things to happen in our life to give us a testimony.
All right.
So that we're able to tell somebody else about the power and the ability of God. This is what God said. This is why I allowed what happened to you to happen to you, because when you came through, you told somebody it wasn't you.
All right. All right.
You told somebody it was God.
That's
because
right.
You had enough sense to know you couldn't do it by yourself.
That's right.
So he gives it to, these things happen as a testimony to the children of Israel for future generations. So, the problem that we have with a lot of church folks sometimes is that when we get saved, we stop telling folks about what we used to be.
All right.
and where God brought us from. So what we've done is we've cut off our testimony to the next generation because now all they think is we've just been perfect all our lives. Now, really, a lot of the things that has frustrated a lot of the young churchgoers was the fact that the adult churchgoers made Christianity seem so impossible to achieve. You got to be perfect. You got to be sinless. However, God does want us to be sinless. And you have to understand there was a process to becoming sinless. We just didn't stop everything the moment we got saved. Now, we might have realized the moment we got saved there are some things we need to change. Say amen. Say amen. That's the reality. Amen. Salvation taught me there's some things I need to change. Yes. Now, the aspect is, did my hind part in action?
All right.
Let's look. What else did he say? So, we learned that this was a testimony for the children and for their future children, but also this was a judgment of the false gods. You remember we walked through all of the deities that God put on blast when the plagues happened, and from the lowest god to the highest god, Ra. We talked about the sun god when darkness fell on the face of the earth, that this was a direct indictment to Ra, the sun god. Because if Ra was so powerful, then how did you allow somebody else to come in your territory and turn off your lights?
Right.
And here's what is also most important that we got to realize when it comes to this aspect of Ra being the sun god. The sun was the essential resource needed for the rest of their cultivating and daily lives. The produce, the livestock, the stuff that grew relied on the sun to do its thing. So when he blotted out the sun, the Bible says that it was so thick you could feel how dark it was. He puts all of the Egyptian deity on blast, but then also, and I talked last week, This would be a warning to the other nations that would challenge God. Because we learned, I read to you from the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 4, where the Philistines took the Ark of the Covenant, which represented the presence of God. And when one of them heard about what had happened, he was like, dude, do you realize what you're doing? Do you realize what you're bringing upon us right now? We heard about what he did, what their gods did to the Egyptians. We heard about it. This is some 400 years later. So the reputation of God is now being told by other nations. The nations that weren't even involved, they're now got word of it. So this is how powerful the spread of God and these plagues that came about all had a purpose. The majority of them came with a warning and a grace period to heed the warning. There was a warning and then a grace period to heed the warning, to get in accordance with the warning, to obey the word of God. Now, if God gives us warning and then grace, why do we get mad when he finally gets mad, decides to pass judgment? Oh, you didn't have to do that, God. You didn't have to do me like that. Right now we mad with God. But he gave us the warning. And then he gave us the grace period to get our stuff together. And Pharaoh Let my people go. No. Okay. Then watch this. Pharaoh, let my people go. No. Okay. Then this is going to happen. Pharaoh, let my people go. No. If you don't let my people go, then no. 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 Finally, God says enough is enough. And look at the conversation that he has. Okay, so you should be at Exodus right now. We want to be at Exodus chapter 11. I'm going to do some reading and then I'll make some comments in between. But a lot of this speaks for itself, and we're going to let it speak for itself. So the first three verses, I want you to take a look at that, 1-3, okay? It says, and the Lord says to Moses, I will bring you yet one more plague on Pharaoh and on Egypt. Afterwards, he will let you go from here. When he lets you go, he will surely drive you out from here altogether. Speak now in the hearing of the people, and let every man ask of his neighbor and every woman from their neighbor articles of silver, articles of gold. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Moreover, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt in the sight of Pharaoh's servant and in the sight of the people. So now the people are starting to see, and the pendulum is now swinging toward, and they're identifying that Moses is greater than Pharaoh. But the reality is God is greater than all of them. That's what they're learning right here. So the people are seeing the position that Moses has with God. And the Bible says that they found favor. The Israelites found favor with the Egyptians, the same ones that just enslaved them. Now, a lot of that is because they are saying to themselves, we heard the warning, and we saw how hard-headed Pharaoh is, and you remember, even the servants that first told Pharaoh, don't fall for that. We can do that. These are the same ones that came back to say, hey, man, how long are you going to let this man be a snare to us? Go on and let the people go. And Pharaoh said no. So now the people are seeing who God is. And now the people are willing to be whatever it takes to get in God's favor. Oh, you need silver? You need gold? Oh, here, take it. Anything to get up out of here. This is what they really trying to do. If this is what it takes to quit getting beat down by these plagues, take it. So, look what he says. He will surely drive you out of here altogether. So, God told Moses, go say this, but he ain't going to listen. Go say this, but he ain't going to listen. Go tell him I said this, but he ain't going to listen. Finally, God says, he's going to listen this time. And listen to the pronouncement. So I want you to scroll down because, again, once you go to verse 4, because, again, it tells us that at this point, Pharaoh still is not persuaded. But all of Egypt, including the servants, they now know that the Lord God was greater than the gods of Egypt, and that Moses was his servant. So now look at the next thing. So God, look at this announcement. Then Moses said, thus says the Lord, about midnight I will go out into the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, and the firstborn of Pharaoh, who sits on his throne, even to the firstborn female servant who is behind the handmill, and the firstborn of all animals. There shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such was not like before, nor shall it be like it again. But again, none of the children of Israel shall a dog move its tongue. Look at God. Against man or beast, that you may know that the Lord does make a difference between the Egyptian and Israel. God wants you to know he makes the difference. I will show you the difference between belonging to me and not belonging to me. I'll show you the difference between obedience and disobedience. And this is important because, and I'm moving forward a little bit, but this next instruction that he gives was a qualifier not just to the children of Israel, but to anyone who would listen.
All right.
When he said, take the lamb, take it in the house with you, mm-hmm. get to know the lamb, and then put the blood on it, okay. of its, put the blood of it, that lamb over your doorpost and the lintel, mm-hmm. that was a qualifier to whoever would listen.
All right.
So watch this. Had Pharaoh done what God said, then Pharaoh's son would have been spared. I'm saying that to say there are some people who did not put the blood over the door simply because they thought I'm an Israelite. This don't apply.
All right.
I don't have to do all of that because I'm already in the bloodline. So that don't apply to me. You got to be careful because he gave warning, right?
Yes,
he did. So he went out for firstborn. And look what he said. He said, not only for the sheriff from Pharaoh, but he said, even the one female servant behind the meal. So it basically meant from the highest of high to the lowest of the low, the woman working behind the meal.
Yes.
Was the lowest job that a person could have mm-hmm. outside of working with pigs. Mm-hmm. It was hard labor. Mm-hmm. And it was lowly labor. They left that for the, what they call the scrubs of life, right? And God is saying it doesn't matter who you are. It applies to everybody.
Right.
If you listen, you'll be saved.
That's right.
If you don't, you'll be dead. Look what happened. And he says, and none of the children of Israel shall a dog move his tongue. You know what I'm saying? And God is saying, despite everything that is happening around you, when you belong to God, everything somehow manages to be all right. We're safe. Look what it says. That you may know that the Lord does make a difference between the Egyptian and the Israelites and Israel. And that's important to see because the Egyptians have gods. We learned about what Ra and Set and Hoten and Happy and Kuni and Makata and all of the other ones that we learned about. They're gods, mm-hmm. but Israel has
that's
made. You see, I'm showing you the difference between me and you. There's a whole lot of you.
Come on now.
But only one me. That's what God is saying.
Yes, sir.
Whole lot of those other little gods, but
yeah.
Let's be honest. When it came to show and prove, what did they do? Whole lot of y'all. But there's only one me. And God was saying the difference between us and them is that all you have to just rely on me. I'm the source. So you don't have to worry about this don't happen because you made this God happy, but this God is mad. Right? So look. So So again, that was one of the things that we learned in that those places were his overwhelming display of his power. That's what it was. The one God challenged the deity of the Egyptians and came out supreme, right? So I want you to look down, go down to verse number 9, verse number 10, two verses. But the Lord said to Moses, Pharaoh will not heed you, so that my wonders may be multiplied in the land of Egypt. So Moses and Aaron did all of the wonders before Pharaoh, and the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he did not let the children of Israel go out of his land. There it was again. Still won't listen. The 9 plagues can now be seen overall as a whole. From the step back, you can look back at all 9 plagues. And think about this. Those 9 plagues touched every aspect of their life. Every aspect. Think about it. And I have noted here. Every phase of nature. The minerals, the animals, the vegetables, and the human. It affected persons and property. And it included everything from the highest to the lowest. Did you see that? Mm-hmm. That was a note from a person I studied, one of the theologians by the name of Thomas. The 9 plagues, again, affected the whole aspect of all of man. All of it. That's what when we said God managed to shut down the whole worship system because it wasn't right. With these 9 challenges, let's look at the next chapter. So I want you to go to, now we have verse number 12, which is why it's important today. All of that was to bring us to right here. Mm-hmm. Here God institutes what's called the Passover. And I'm not telling him, I'm not giving away the story here. We understand. There's some things I want to point out. In the first 6 verses, God instructs every household to take a lamb. And I'll read it, it says, now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be your beginning of month. I want to stop right there because really, I'm going to revisit this New Year's Eve or New Year's Day, the first Sunday. I want you to understand what God is saying right now. God is saying, I'm about to deliver you. Mm-hmm. And because I'm going to deliver you, once I deliver you,
yeah,
this is where it all begins. So basically, if I could, I want you to remember this. God is about to hit the reset button. And everything's about to start anew. How many of us are ready for God to hit our reset button?
Yes, sir.
Look what he said. Look what he said. I'm in the text.
Yeah.
This month shall be your beginning of month.
Right.
I'm giving you a new calendar.
All right.
The day I deliver you is the day your life begins anew.
Yes, sir.
I got to save that for the first of the month, y'all. I really want to deal with it a little bit. But so, and the reason why this would be a significant act is that God would remake their calendar. Now, you notice that the Jewish community has their own calendar. They have the civil calendar, which is the same calendar we use, but they have what's called a ceremonial calendar. Like right now, we're in the feast of, well, it's Hanukkah season, so it should be like the Feast of Lights was the first day. I don't remember what day it is right now. But anyway, they're in their feasting season. And each day has something symbolic to have to do with Hanukkah within the next 8 days. But that's their ceremonial calendar. Okay, the Passover usually falls around the same time Easter does. That's their ceremonial calendar. And we're going to deal with the Passover and its ceremonial purpose, all right? So look at verses 1 through 6. Let's look Now the Lord spoke, he said, this month shall be the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Not to everybody else. This is personal. This is all for you. Customized. Look at God. What he said. So speak to the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take for him a lamb according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for the lamb, then let him and his neighbor next to him take it according to the number of persons, according to each man's need. You shall make your account for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of congregations shall kill it at twilight. Now, God is saying this lamb. So you got 10 days to find a lamb without spot or blemish. This is the first day. So on the 10th day, you're going to find a lamb, and everyone has to be a year or young. So it's a baby. And he says, you're going to take the lamb, and everyone's going to take it into the house. Into the house. So now this animal that you take, this baby animal that you take into the house, it becomes like a part of the family. And you ever notice that when you buy it, when a little puppy come in the house, when they're young and they're small like that, everybody, you're so tender with them, they become a part of the family to where when they become old, they are part of the family, right? So, but it don't take long to get connected with that little baby. It don't take long. Here's what happened. God says, I want you to take the baby into your house, take that lamb to your house, get connected with it. Woo! Because that makes killing it even tougher.
Yeah.
We needed to get a snapshot of what God was about to do. So God says, just to get a glimpse of the pain I'm going to have to experience to deliver you. Get accustomed to that lamb. Get close to it. Get to know it. And once you get to know it, kill it. Already tugging at heartstrings.
Yeah.
Do you sympathize with God a little bit?
Yeah.
Because this wasn't a lamb, this was his son.
All right. Yes, sir.
Let's keep going. So he told all of the congregation of Israel. Now, there's some other things we'll deal with later. But every man took for himself a lamb on that 10th day. And look at the accommodations God made. God says, let's say you don't have enough to buy a lamb or have a lamb or a goat. And God says, get with your neighbor. Make sure that they get enough for you. And you guys all come together and do this. You know what I'm saying? This is why we can have communion in our homes.
Hmm.
And then at the same time, come here on a Sunday and collect and do it. Because the provision that God made was to make sure everyone would be accounted for. Hmm. I just wanted you to see that because that's important moving forward. Let's keep going. If the household is too small for the lamb, then there was a provision made. Again, we talked about being without spot or blemish. Don't bring God no broke down, raggedy offering.
Man.
Don't bring God what you don't want.
That's it. That's right.
It had to be without spot or blemish. Mm-hmm. It's easy to give God the three-legged goat or the, you know, the lamb that got two foreheads or something like that. It's easy to give God something you don't want. God says without spot or blemish.
That's right.
It's got to be the best of.
That's right.
This is what he wants from us. The best. The best of. And then and he said, kill it at twilight. That's interesting because when we get to Calvary, that concept of twilight and that definition, I'll deal with it. Look at verse 7 through 11. There's some other instruction. He says, and they shall take some of the blood and put it on the doorposts and on the lintel of the house where they eat it. Then they shall eat the flesh that night, roasted in fire, with unleavened bread and with bitter herbs. Now, I'm going to talk a little bit about all of those before we move forward. He says, do not eat it raw, no boiled at all with water, but roasted in fire. Its head with its legs and entrails, you shall let none of it remain until morning. And what remains until morning, you shall burn it with fire. And thus you shall eat it with a belt on your waist and with sandals on your feet and a staff in your hand. So you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. Ain't no telling when Pharaoh might change his mind. He gonna change his mind. Ain't no telling when. So y'all be ready for when he comes. So that's why when they eat this meal, to this day, they eat it fully dressed. Because if the Passover angel comes, they need to be ready to get up out of there. You got it? Okay. So take some of the blood, put it on the doorpost. So before the lamb, and I want you to see the order that God laid this up. The reason why I'm saying it's important that when we follow God's instruction, we follow it to the letter, to the T, word for word, in the order that he puts it. In the order that he puts it. In the order. Because, see, it's even a sin to do all that he says out of order. Did you catch that? Look at this. What did he say first? Before you can eat it, you have to take the blood and put it over the doorpost. And then he says, look, so as it was placed over the door and the blood dripped down, God, you notice, he didn't want any sprinkles of blood on their forehead or anything like that. He wanted it over the doorpost. The thing you see going in, the thing you see going out, God wanted it visible. He wanted it visible. He wanted it visible. He wanted it visible. Because when he passes by, he needs to see it.
Yeah, yeah.
He wanted the covering visible. He wanted it visible. It had to be visible, not invisible. He wanted it visible. So I'm saying, you can't be an invisible believer. You have to be visible. He needs to know who you are. He has to see it.
Yeah.
And the problem is, folk can't see the fact that we're believers because we're invisible. We hadn't put the blood where God said put it so it could be seen. I need to see it because when I pass by, if you don't follow my instructions, I don't have time to come in here and check a second time. If I don't see what I'm supposed to see, I'm coming through.
All right.
Look what it says. You shall eat it. Then after you painted the board with blood, then you can eat the lamb. And thus you shall eat it. And then the lamb could be eaten. After the blood was applied, then the lamb could be eaten. After the blood was applied, then the lamb could be eaten. Listen. A lot of us, even in this relationship with God, we get the order confused. A lot of us want to receive all of these things first before we receive the word. We want to receive the Spirit. We want the Holy Spirit. We want to run and all. We want the results, the actions of the Holy Spirit. But you cannot receive the Spirit until you have first received the Word. It is not the Holy Spirit that saves you. It is the Word that saves. But we want all the results of the Spirit before we receive the word. God says you got it backwards. You got to eat the, I'm sorry.
Come on now.
You got to take the word in you first.
Yeah.
We got it confused. And I love that song we sing. The Holy Ghost saved me. The Holy Ghost set me free. No, biblically, that's not true. This song sounds good, but biblically, it's not true. The Holy Ghost's role is to keep you after you have been saved. In other words, you won't receive the Spirit until you first receive the Word. There is an order that God establishes. And when we do things out of order, how can you expect a big return, a mega blessing, when we're doing things out of order? God says, no, it has to be in this order. Take the lamb. Kill it first. It's got to be offered. It's got to be sacrificed first. Then take the blood and paint it over the doorpost and the lintel, both sides and the top. The lintels are the place where the post and the top connect, so you got a cross here and a cross there, just a cross on both sides of the door. That's what God wanted to see. The angel passed by. Then you shall eat it. Then he says, and let none of it remain. Don't, no leftovers. Don't, no Ziploc bags, put in the freezer for them all. You know, none of that. God says, this is only good for today. And if anything left, burn it. Get rid of it, because it's no good for tomorrow. Sometimes you have to make a choice today, you know. You don't get tomorrow as an option. The reason why you, because God said, I won't be here tomorrow. Once I come through, that's it. Once I pass by, once I pass over, that's it. So you need to make sure you do this the right way. And I want you to look at something that was said. It says, let the left remain till morning. And they were told to eat with the bell on their waist, settles in their feast. Again, the Passover lamb had to be eaten in faith. Even the meal itself, had to be eaten in faith, because it was the trust and the hope that God was going to, God was going to make true on his promise of deliverance. And the belt and the sandal that we talked about was all the symbol of readiness. And it would also represent their willingness to walk in obedience. That's key. Belt, sandals were always the symbols of travel, right? So you are to walk or continue to walk in that same obedience. This is where I struggle. This is where I struggle, because sometimes I'm not consistent with obedience. I'm not the only one. Say amen, say out, say something. I know I'm not the only one. We good for a minute. New Year's about to come. We're going to start off. Say amen. I know I'm right about it. One thing that key is it says it's the Lord's Passover. That's what he said. It's the Lord's Passover. That's what he said. So you say eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. That's how he closed that that last little section of verse right there. And so it talks about faith. It talks about obedience. It speaks of consistency. All of these things tied in. All right. But here's something that I want you to see. Look at verse number 12, verse number 13, next verse 12. For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night and will strike all of the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all of the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. Now again, when God instituted this, even though it was to make a distinction between his people and the other people, it still was an open invitation to whoever would listen.
Yeah. Yeah.
And some of them did listen. And some of the Egyptians did exactly what the Israelites did.
All right.
Now, it kind of makes sense after you just saw the other nine stuff happen. What they doing?
Right.
Go get us two lambs. You get what I'm saying? Let's make sure. And that's the thing. So verses 14 to 20 is a lot of reading. Okay? It's a lot of reading. So but this is the institution of the Passover and the unleavened bread, which when we take our communion here, so that you'll understand why you have a flat cracker and why we're not up here with, because if we could have like Hawaiian bread, folk would be up here every first Sunday because Hawaiian bread is delicious and fluffy. But because it's a thin, tasteless wafer,
right?
So there's a purpose behind that thin, tasteless wafer. And that's what we're going to talk about right now. And we're going to close with that because it takes us, it escorts us to our community. Okay? Let's look. It says, on this day shall be to you a memorial. That's important. God is saying, you're not just going to do this today, but you're going to do this from now on.
That's right.
Look what he said. And you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You get that?
Mm-hmm.
Keep doing it.
That's right.
You shall keep it as a feast by an everlasting ordinance. God says, this is my law, and you're going to do this forever.
All right.
7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall remove leaven from your houses, for whatever eats leaven from the bread on the first day until the seventh day, that person shall be cut off from Israel. So let's talk about that. I want to summarize this because we're getting down to about 11 minutes, and homegirl going to start letting me know we're getting close to our time, right? So let's hurry up and let's kind of move this forward a little bit. So the reason why God insisted on them removing leaven out of their house is because in the Bible, leaven is connected with sin, like yeast, in the fact that a little sin is enough to start making your bread rise.
That's right. That's right.
A little sin is enough to add to more sin, more
That's
sin, more
right.
sin. So God says, remove the threat of sin out of your house.
All right. All right.
And I want you to eat this unleavened bread and do this for the rest of your day.
All right.
It's because I want you to live sinless.
All right. Yeah.
Once I deliver you,
yeah.
then don't go back to eating
yeah,
yeast.
All right. All
In other words, when I reset this, I'm not only going to fix your mind, I'm about to fix your diet.
All right. Come on, Pastor.
Because what you put in your body.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Somebody will catch that.
Yes, sir.
You ever heard you are what you
eat?
Sound like we heard it, didn't it? Sound like a choir right there, huh? And we didn't even practice that. That was... He says, 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread for a week. Clean your body from the yeast, from the sin. That's just what he's saying. Get rid of the stuff that causes you to be bogged down and heavy. Then he says, and you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread. For this time, I will have brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. He calls them armies. They didn't even have an army, but they're going to be an army. Aren't you, isn't it amazing that once God delivers you, he starts identifying you by your new calling and not your old one? Y'all didn't catch that. Because if you did, you might shout right there in the deep. Once you're delivered you, he doesn't call you an ex anything.
All right.
You know, every people, I'm an ex-alcoholic. God doesn't call you an ex anything. Once you're delivered, you are no longer that. And what he calls you is not even associated with what you used to be.
Right.
How do I know that? No longer shall you be called Jacob, trickster, con man.
No.
That ain't you no more.
Yeah.
Your name shall be called Israel. And how do we know? What are we looking at right now? And, yeah, Israel, uh-huh. They're not called the children of Jacob.
That's right.
It's not called the house of Jacob.
All right.
It is called the house of Israel, the children of Israel. So when God delivers you, he doesn't even connect you with that old stuff no more.
Right. Yeah.
And I'm the one that calls your armies out of Egypt. What do you mean armies? We were slaves, uh-huh. But when I deliver you, I don't even associate you. I don't even call you that no more. So he makes this connection. Look at that. No more unleavened bread. Because this is going to signify on the same day that I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. But this is the first Passover. And the unleavened bread was kind of a necessity. And they had to have, they didn't have time when they were leaving Egypt. They had time to wait for the bread to rise. They had to get up out of there. So let's do it. For 7 days, no leaven shall be found in your houses. Right? No corruption. Nothing. God wants you to get rid of anything that may corrupt your thinking.
Yeah.
That's a hard thing to do sometimes.
Yeah.
To separate yourself from the things that corrupt your thinking. But that's the holy though. Verse number 21 through 23, and Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said to them, pick out of this lamb, take the lambs for yourself according to your families, and kill the Passover lamb, and you shall take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in blood that is in the basin, strike the lintel and the doorposts with the blood of the basin, that none of you shall go out of the door of the house until morning. For the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood on the lintel of the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and not allow the destroyer to come into your houses to strike you. And that's what they did. And so it says that they took a bunch of hyssop. Now, they used hyssop to apply this blood to the doorpost. Now, what's significant is when Jesus was being crucified and he was dying, and they were talking about the roasting that Jesus experienced because he's now dehydrated and thirsty. He's sweated out, everything out. And so they take a stick of hyssop and they put a sponge on it, and they put wine on the sponge that is attached to the hyssop, and they put the hyssop up on Christ that is up on the cross to try and give him something to drink. Let that marinate for a minute. Maybe you might catch that. So we find out later that the hyssop ends up being like a symbol of cleansing. I want to share a few scriptures with you real quick. In Leviticus chapter 14, the Bible talks about the hyssop being a symbol of cleansing. When the leper came for cleansing, that they applied the blood with the hyssop again, and he was made clean. In particular, I want you to write this song. Psalm 51, I want you to write that down, and you get a chance to meditate on that, okay? But David says in there, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. What are we talking about? Hyssop, right? What happens at the Passover? It was not only the deliverance of Israel, but it was also the cleansing of Israel. Because God says no more leavened bread. Sorry, but for the next little while, y'all can't have no Hawaiian bread. You just got to have some saltines. And unsalted saltines on top of that. Just cracker, those unsalted crackers. Just that's it. That's all you can have right now. And you're like, but God, why? Number one, you don't have time. Where you going? We've got to get there. You don't have time to wait for the bread to rise. But number two, the way that you have to take your journey, it's not good. Sitting there, I told you, eating up on the heat. It's not good where we're going and the way that you have to go to sit here eating all this bread with yeast.
Yeah.
Because if you eat a lot of bread with yeast, at some point in time, you're going to spend a lot of time getting rid of that yeast, if you understand.
Yeah.
And so they ain't had time to sit here waiting on you to come out the bathroom. And Pharaoh's army is chasing.
Right.
We need to get. I'm telling you, your God is awesome. He understands every aspect of your humanity and has you covered.
Yeah.
So, the key is when he sees the blood, he will pass over. When he sees the blood, he will pass over. So God has introduced to us his bread and his blood.
Yes.
Once I deliver you, the purpose of unleavened bread is that you will walk. Remember we had the belt and the sandals on and we eating this unleavened bread? It's so that we will walk in our deliverance. But as we walk in our deliverance, we walk in our deliverance covered by the blood in obedience.
Yeah.
Meaning that once I've been delivered, now my role is to be sinless. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I got to get rid of the leaven. So once we're delivered, God says the purpose of you eating this and continuing this is so that you'll continue walking in this deliverance.
Yeah.
In other words, he doesn't want us to go back, but we do. So this bread and this blood that we partake in, When he says that we also examine ourselves, that we don't take this unworthily, I've got to say that because it's not an aspect of being unworthily, because I've heard people misspeak that. Because in reality, none of us are worthy. You agree with that, right?
Right.
He says, don't take it unworthily. This is why he said, if you're hungry, eat at home. Because if that's all this is to you, then you're wasting your time.
All right.
It has no worth to you.
All right.
But for those of us, when we partake this, we have to understand what it is worth. Understand its value. That's why he didn't say, this is the symbol of my body. This is my body. This cup is the New Testament of my blood, which is shed for you. So look at what God was doing. Wow. Way back when did this work with Moses?
Hmm.
He snapshots us this very Sunday. Because this, what we're about to do, is representative of the Passover meal. And we're following in line with the ordinance that he said we shall do for the rest of our generation. So God snapshotted today. I can't even tell you how many years ago this happened, but it was a long time ago, I'll tell you that much. I don't even think I'd count that high. I don't have enough fingers or toes.
Yeah.
Way back then, he took a picture of what was going to be our example today. What did we say? The Old Testament enfolded and the New Testament unfolded. So he takes this picture in the Old Testament, folds it up, puts it in an envelope, mails it to us. 2,000 years later, opens that envelope when Jesus dies.
Yeah.
I don't know how else to. Because the next time we get this same conversation about what this meal is, Jesus is having.
Oh,
man.
Yeah. Yeah.
First, God explains it, right? Because this is God talking to Moses. This is what you're going to do and why. Then Jesus comes later and says, you remember that conversation my daddy was having with y'all back then?
Yeah.
He had talked about me.
Yeah.
Now let me help you understand what he means. I am the bread.
Yeah.
So we here, we see the awesomeness of God on display. We're going to deal a bit more with the plague. I know I didn't deal directly with it. We kind of, but this is basically the intro into it and why it's significant for today. Because as we move forward, again, today is the first Sunday that we acknowledge and we remember this very event. And so with that being said, we're going to get ready and close our worship and move forward into our communion service. And so with that said, I'm grateful to all of us. Now, one of the things the Bible tells us to do is that when we take of this supper, that we should examine ourselves. And so I'm going to, for a few minutes, I'm going to, as we get ready for communion, play just some music for us to listen to. Go ahead. I invite you to pray and to talk with God, commune with God, and to examine yourself. And I'm not going to ask you if there's any sin. Help me, Lord Jesus. So, we got a lot to be grateful for in that respect. Okay. Thank you. Night when he was betrayed, the Lord took some bread and he gave thanks for it. Then he broke it into pieces and said, "This is my body which is given for you.
Yeah.
Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this to remember me as often as you drink it." For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again. For anyone who eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord unworthily is guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. That is why you should examine yourself before eating the bread and drinking the cup. For you, if you eat of the bread and drink of the cup without honoring the body of Christ, you are eating and drinking God's judgment upon yourself. That is why many of you are weak and sick, and some of you have even died. Amen. If you would, God, we're grateful to you for this privilege that you've allowed us to come together again as we partake in this prayer. God, we honor your giving. We honor your gift. And we honor this opportunity. Looking forward to the second coming when you come back to receive us to yourself. We thank you now. In the mighty and matchless name of Jesus the Christ, and we all say together, amen, amen.
All right, but you It does. It does. Because I don't know.